Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor. Last week we had a great time talking in depth about the Dallas Cowboys playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks with Tim Kalashaw from the Dallas Morning News. And so we really want to stay in depth on this weekend's games because, again, you got two games on Saturday or Sunday that are just going to be fascinating. Lots of trends and all that. And joining us on Schooled with a Professor is Danny Kelly from The Ringer. And so, Danny, let's first off start about the trend. Is this going to be a long-term trend or a short-term trend? Just this year, that the top four scoring offenses, the top four offenses, and maybe the top four play callers on offense are all in the championship games?
Yeah, I mean, that's really a huge question. And I think it's probably the start of the trend. I'm sure there's going to be ups and downs in teams like the Bears, who are really equipped to, you know, pass rush and create turnovers and things like that. Bears are teams with special defenses, I think, could probably start contending, but just the way the rules are set up to really favor, you know, offensive play, like offensive receivers and quarterbacks, just protect those guys. And everything the NFL did over the offseason to kind of stimulate offense worked spectacularly. And I'm sure they're very thrilled with what happened in terms of, you know, the top four teams in the playoff, top four teams left in the playoffs now are the top four scoring teams. You got very exciting quarterbacks on each team. And yeah, I mean, I would guess that this is maybe just a little bit of an outlier in terms of how heavily tilted it is towards offense, but I think it's just getting harder and harder for teams to play defense, and, you know, there's going to be pendulum swings here and there, but I think the trend is definitely just favored towards offense. That's the way the rules are set up. That's what the NFL wants, and I think that's what fans want generally. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of fans who are, like, looking for defensive slugfests and things like that, but you know, some of the best games are, you know, the back and forth kind of barn burners. We saw these two games earlier in the season, and they were two of the best games all year. So, yeah, I think it's trending towards offense for sure, I would say.
You wonder how long it's going to take for defenses to catch up. I mean, certainly, I think defensive players were caught cold with the way the games were officiated. You started out, worried about the helmet rule. Then, of course, the piling on the quarterback for the roughing call, that turned to get a lot of flags. I mean, it got so bad that William Hayes, a defensive end from the Miami Dolphins, was trying to avoid getting a penalty. He blew out his ACL. And so,
Yeah.
I just wonder now, having a whole off season and another year to go, I mean, how many years is it going to take for the defenses to adapt?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. I think what we saw this year is the defenses that have success, it's not necessarily about, you know, limiting yards and limiting offenses completely, because I think it's almost just become impossible to do that at this point. There's just too many good quarterbacks, too many good offenses, like you said, too many good play callers. The way that the games are played is changing. The defenses that stand out to me are the ones who can get turnovers and get sacks and things like that, like those big game-changing plays. And so, I mean, obviously pass rushers and corners have already been a big deal on defense, but I think those guys, the guys that can particularly get takeaways, get turnovers, are going to be sort of the most valuable players on defense. And so we might see teams kind of make an even bigger push towards those kind of players. And that's why, you know, like the Khalil Mack thing made such a huge difference for the Bears, is because you get a one-man wrecking crew up front. That changes the dynamic for everyone on the defense, because it just makes the corners better at their job, because you rush the quarterback into throwing, things like that. And so, you know, obviously defensive ends, pass rushers have already been very important, but I think that we're going to see kind of like how quarterback is so important on offense. Like, guys that can make turnovers, create turnovers, are going to be, you know, the most important players to kind of find. And so I don't know how long that's going to take. I still, like I said, I think it's just the way that the rules are set up. It's going to be very, very difficult for teams to recover, I guess, from how the you know, the direction the NFL is going. But at the same time, last year at this time, I think, you know, we've been talking about how much defense kind of dominated the season. It was one of the worst offensive seasons, you know, NFL in recent NFL history. And so things can change quickly. I think, you know, my gut says that it's offense heavy right now going forward, but you just never know.
Well, let's get into these offenses. I guess the interesting part is that the way the playoffs began this year, you had six young quarterbacks that were able to make the playoffs and six veteran quarterbacks that have been around for a long period of time. So now it concludes, you have the two young quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes, and then you have the two 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks in Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I think, you know, it's interesting for the game right now because I think you can see this year is kind of the year of transition where some of the new wave quarterbacks are stepping up.
It really is kind of just a perfect scenario for the NFL because it's sort of the passing of the torch from, you know, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks like with Brady and Brees, and two of the most young, exciting, not only quarterbacks but just offenses in general, the way that they spread the field and create mismatches and scheme guys open. It's just kind of it's a great, I guess, visual of the passing of the torch in the evolution of the game, I think. And so, you know, overall, it's just kind of a perfect scenario, like I said, for the NFL. There's just so many good storylines, lots of great players. You know, the offenses are really exciting to watch. And, you know, honestly, even there's some of these teams are playing defense pretty well, too, right now. So it's not going to be necessarily just easy for these quarterbacks either. There's, you know, the Saints have a very good defensive line. The Chiefs have, for, you know, they're not going to be like the 85 Bears or anything like that, but they're that front, you know, line in the Chiefs has been really, really good lately too. And so I think it just creates great matchups on in both games. And, you know, it's just a really exciting weekend of football. I think it's going to be what everybody hoped it would be.
So now, where everybody was starting to write off the New England Patriots, I didn't write them off when they were at home in Foxborough. Because, again, you know, what, they've only won, 25 games with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in Foxborough. But what I wonder now is that, can they carry on the road? And that's where I think this could be the demise of the team, because they were 3-5 on the road this year, 3-4 for Tom Brady in road playoff games, and he's not won a road playoff game since 2006, when he was 29 years old. What can they do to win this game?
Over a decade ago. It's just kind of crazy to think about that. The Patriots obviously had huge splits towards at home. You know, like, they were, I believe they were 9-0 at home, and they posted a league best point differential at home this year. And so they were just dominant in Gillette, and kind of mediocre on the road. And so it does definitely kind of make you wonder how this game is going to go. I think the Chiefs, too, have a very, very strong, you know, home advantage. They've been much, much better at home this year. You know, their defense has essentially, you know, allowed about half as many points at home as they did on the road this year. And so they've just been a lot more stout defensively. I think that helps with the crowd noise, you know, timing their pass rush and things like that. So I think, you know, it's going to be very difficult for the Patriots to go in there and play kind of, I think, their brand of football. It's going to, you know, they might have to adjust on the fly and get out of what they want to do. And so, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs kind of defend Tom Brady. There's never really any book on how to stop him other than kind of get pressure with your front four. But in so many times in the past, we've seen Bill Belichick and company come up with, you know, really unique and interesting you know, schemes and strategies. They're very much like a chameleon team. They can be whoever they need to be week to week and change their entire sort of look and run so many different things that you just never really know how it's going to go. I'm really interested to kind of see what the game plan is, because, like you said, they're not at home. They're playing in a really tough road venue, and Tom Brady hasn't been quite as, I guess, dominant as he has in past years. I mean, he's still a very good player, obviously, but he hasn't been kind of the guy who can carry a team necessarily over throughout the season. Like, they just don't have as much talent on offense. So there's, schematically, it's going to be really interesting to see how they protect him, what they want to do on offense.
I couldn't believe that the Chargers not only came out with the seven defensive backs. I know they had to do it for reasons because they didn't have many linebackers because of all the injuries.
Right.
But to stay in that and not make adjustments, all that did is it was so predictable. They were going to get the ball to James White, and they were going to run the football, and that's exactly what they did. Because if you got seven defensive backs, you're small out there. You're not big. And so that, to me, just played to the hands of Tom Brady.
I think, and the difference in the two defenses, like you said, the the Chargers played a lot of like just cover three zone. I don't think they made it too hard on Brady to get the ball out quickly. He had, of all the quarterbacks last week, he had the fastest time to throw and the shortest average air yards per throw. So it was a dink and dunk offense, really. And then they ran the ball a lot, played good on defense, and kind of just took care of the game. This week, I think the Chiefs are probably played man defense more than all but five teams this year. So they're a man heavy defense relative to a lot of teams in the NFL. If they can do, and this is just kind of simple, you know, obviously obvious football strategy, but if they can disrupt routes early and kind of take away Tom Brady's first read, really, really quick read, that will give their pass rush an extra beat or two to get home. And that could be kind of huge for them, because the Chargers just were not able to do that. They just couldn't. And so I think I saw last week even with Bosa and Melvin Ingram and some of the pass rushers they have, they only got, I think, two quarterback hits and no sacks. That can't happen this week, I think, for the Chiefs. They have to be able to do more up front if they want to be able to stop this offense. The other thing is the Chiefs are a very bad run defense. They're probably the worst run defense in the NFL. But with such a explosive offense to kind of lean on, if the Chiefs get an early lead, it could kind of make New England's strategy of, ground game, ball control, clock control, things like that, that could go out the window because they'd be playing from behind. And so I think the first quarter is going to tell us a lot. And we saw Belichick was talking about the first quarter of yesterday, I believe, and the Chiefs led the NFL this year in first quarter differential. I think I saw this say yesterday, they're actually they're fourth all time in first quarter differential. So they're a very, very fast starting team. And if New England gets in a hole early on, it could really kind of change the way that they go about it. They might not be able to run quite as much as they want.
Yeah, because they need to be kind of balanced. And obviously, if you're going to be behind, you're not going to be balanced. And the weather conditions are going to play into that, too. Which team with the Arctic blast, temperatures are going to be in the single digits and maybe wind chills in the minuses, is affected most by the weather?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I think, the Patriots are no stranger to playing in cold weather. Obviously, it gets cold in Boston in January, December and things like that. It's not like they've never played in cold weather. I just think being at home is an advantage for the Chiefs. They just know that stadium. I think if you look at Mahomes last week, he was not affected necessarily by the snow. I think so. His receivers maybe dropped a few passes they should have caught, but overall, he didn't look like he was too affected by the weather. His arm is just too good. He's too mobile. I think if you're going to give an advantage to any team, it might be the Chiefs just a little bit. I'm a little bit worried about Brady. 41-year-old Brady holding up in frigid cold, is that going to affect his arm? Things like that. But, neither of these teams is a stranger to playing in the cold. So I don't think the advantage is very, very strong towards either team. I think, obviously, the home field advantage is huge for the Chiefs. But in terms of the cold, I don't think it necessarily makes one team a lot weaker on paper in my mind.
Now, I guess Patrick Mahomes was very good in the playoff game last week. Is he ready to graduate and become a Super Bowl quarterback?
I think so. I mean, if you look at it, he's probably the most unflappable quarterback at his age I've ever seen. He's essentially a rookie. He didn't play last year other than one game. He goes out there, and I think the team is kind of taking on his personality, too. They just play loose. They look like they're having fun out there. They throw the ball all over the field. They have a very creative offensive design that kind of gets guys open in space, and it's just a lot of fun to watch. I think he just does not seem like he gets flustered. Even when he makes turnovers this year, we see him just kind of, he does sort of the Russell Wilson thing where he'll clap his hands and then go back to the sideline and figure out what's going on. He's just unflappable. And so I think he's absolutely ready. I mean, he's been around pro sports his entire life. His dad was an MLB pitcher. I mean, he's grown up around pro sports. It just doesn't feel like it's too big for him at all. I think he's just, he's been groomed for it his whole life. And I came in with some reservations this season. Like, is he going to be the type of quarterback who makes too many turnovers and kind of puts his team in a hole? But he's blown, I think, everybody away with his poise and his ability to lead that offense so confidently. I think they all, rally around him and kind of take on his personality. So I think he's absolutely ready to be a Super Bowl quarterback.
Well, we talked about the road disadvantage for the New England Patriots. Let's talk about the home field advantage of Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. They're 6-0 in home games in the dome with Sean Payton. I mean, how tough is it? What makes them so good at home?
Well, you know, they're obviously it helps to be in a weather-controlled environment, I think, for them. They got great crowd noise there. The energy is always popping. And I think that kind of – it just they feed off of that. I think it helps with their pass rush because it makes it difficult for offensive linemen to hear what's going on. They can't communicate. With Cameron Jordan playing so well, that defensive line playing so well, I think actually from week 10 on, no team in the NFL had more sacks than the Saints, or they maybe were second. I can't remember exactly, but they're right up there. And so, you know, they're a team that has a very good defensive line. And I think the crowd noise and just getting in, you know, opponents' heads really kind of helps in that area. And then obviously just the comfort factor of not having to worry about wind and things like that. I think it helps their passing game, you know, because they're an efficient, very efficient passing game with Drew Brees. So I think that helps a lot too. But I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like the home field advantage is so real, and I think the Saints have one of the better home field advantages of any teams, you know, in the NFL. And so I think that's huge, and it's just the comfort factor for them, kind of knowing where everything is on the field, that kind of thing. And so. The one thing I am kind of worried about is if their pass rush can take advantage of the home field situation after losing Sheldon Rankins, because I think he was a big part of that, I think, formula of just getting, you know, pressure and dominating in the trenches. If they don't have him, is that kind of a cascading effect for the whole defense? Does that just give Jared Goff an extra beat to throw the ball? Does that make their run defense just a little bit worse? It allows kind of the Rams to do what they want. So, to me, that's a variable that we can't really predict at this point, but it's going to be important because I think those are two huge things for what the Rams want to do. It's kind of, you know, control the line of scrimmage and then play, you know, throw the ball on play action, things like that.
So what do the Rams have to do to try to win this road game?
The biggest thing to me is getting off to a fast start. Last time these two teams played, the Saints jumped out to a huge lead. I think they had a 35-14 lead in the first half at one point. And it just made things hard, you know, for the Rams. They did come back, actually, and they either came back to within one point or tied it up. I can't remember. But they had a big third quarter, kind of came back, but then ran out of steam. The Saints put them away in the fourth quarter. I think it would behoove them to not have that kind of first half again, obviously. You know, what we saw last week against the Cowboys, I think it's going to be big. They want to probably try and keep the ball out of Drew Brees' hands. That means run the ball and you know, do what they do with C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley. They need to figure out a way to defend Alvin Kamara. Last time these two teams played, Kamara just dominated. I mean, he had three touchdowns in the first half. He was making it very difficult on L.A.'s linebacker group in the passing game. I mean, he had one touchdown where he just annihilated the linebacker and just a little out route and just too easy. And so I think the Rams got to figure out how they're going to defend Kamara in the passing game, especially. But yeah, I mean, just basically starting fast is the key here, because trying to dig yourself out of a 2-score hole is just hard. It's, you know, especially on the road.
And, of course, they were able to run the ball successfully for 273 yards on Saturday. And, of course, a big day by C.J. Anderson. I mean, what kind of running can they do against the Saints?
Well, the Saints, you know, like the Cowboys, are one of the better run defense teams in the NFL this year. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how that goes. I don't think anyone expected them to have so much success on the ground against the Cowboys, especially after what the Seahawks tried to do and couldn't run against them. So I think the Rams are capable of running against everyone. They have a really good offensive line. That offensive line is the only group that has played all 16 games this year together. So they have all the continuity they need. They're talented up front. They're physical. Their offensive scheme, I think, helps the run game a lot. You know, they've got guys running sort of the jet sweep in orbit motion on almost every play. I think they had like 35 or something like that plays last week where you had motion just prior to or after the snap, and so it kind of gets the defense thinking and flowing in the wrong direction, basically just messes with defenders' eyes and where they're trying to read. And the way that they run a lot of three receiver sets also helps out with kind of their run blocking because it makes teams spread out on defense. So, you know, Todd Gurley last week had only 6% of his runs had eight guys in the box, and so it just makes it gives them a mathematical advantage, you know, in just blocking, and so I think that's huge for them. So combined with, you know, immense talent at their offensive line position, their running back position, combined with like their scheme, I just makes them a very, very good run team. And so, you know, I think they're kind of matchup proof in that sense, but they have to be able to kind of execute too, because this is a very good run defense. Like I said, Rankins being out could kind of change things. And so, I'm guessing we'll see the Rams try and, you know, do the old cliche, establish the run, but I bet they'll really try and do that in this game and see if they can do what they did against Dallas early on.
So who wins both games?
I got the Saints. I think the Saints' home field advantage matters. I think that they're most balanced team. And I'm a little bit worried about the Rams' defense holding up, you know, as much against that offense. I just think, you know, they have some vulnerabilities in the secondary. They haven't been good against the run, things like that. So I'm picking the Saints at home, and I'm also picking it's kind of, you know, the home team advantage is huge in this time, and I think with the weather and everything, I'm picking the Chiefs. I just think the Chiefs are so much better defensively at home, and the Patriots are just not as good on the road. And so I'm going with Mahomes. I trust Mahomes to play in this weather. I think he's been the most matchup-proof quarterback in the NFL this year. I mean, they scored 26 points in every single one of their games this year, which is the only team to do that ever. So just answer, do you see the Patriots scoring more than 26 points? To me, that's kind of hard to see.
Agreed. They scored 34 points in their two championship games on the road during this eight-year stretch. Hey, Danny, thanks so much. Great talking to you and great getting the analysis.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.